You're listening to RN First Bite with Michael McKenzie.
Hi, I'm Rachel Pitts. I'm the writer of The Hungry Girls Cookbook. And this is my Nana's pudding recipe. It's a recipe that she gave me around about 15 years ago. She'd been making it since 1978. It's a recipe that she pulled out of the newspaper. I've got this very beautiful old page of the Age newspaper that's sort of beautifully browned and splattered. And the recipes are by a lady called Geraldine Dillon. The important part has been that this is the pudding that my Nana always made for us as kids, and I really do think it's quite a special recipe. The key point of difference that Nana made to the recipe was, instead of using the brandy that the recipe calls for, she had this very beautiful old vintage bottle of cream de cacao, which you can see here, Michael. It's from Chateau Yildara, which is a winery that still exists in South Australia, but I actually rang them last week to see if they by any chance still made it, expecting that they definitely didn't, but the lady I spoke to didn't even remember it. So I think it was from an era in the 60s or 70s when liqueur was really quite big. I think people drank a lot of it, much more than they do now.
Fortified wines were huge back in those days.
Yeah, and it isn't really like a modern cream de cacao at all. It's more like a fortified wine, as you say. It's got a sort of a raisiny, muscaty type of smell with sort of an overtone of chocolate to it. When I took over the reins of making this pudding and cake, the Christmas recipes, my Nana gave me the recipe, the cake tin and this secret ingredient. I didn't think much of it at the time, but after a while I sort of realised that this was quite an unusual thing to be putting in a Christmas cake and pudding. And as it turned out, after they passed away and we were faced with a mammoth clean-up job of their house, we actually found two extra bottles of this drop under their house in an old safe. My granddad was a huge collector. He mainly collected scrap metal, but he went beyond that into collecting old bikes and soup pots, and he had like probably 100 old copper insect sprayers and all kinds of things. And he was very lucky that he had many garages and sheds on his property, so he literally filled them up to the roof. And so these bottles were really just part of the landscape of just so much stuff that we had to process. And I mean, we filled many a skip bin cleaning up their house, but there was definitely some treasure that we found as well. The last bottle is down to past the halfway mark now, so I've started to get a little bit concerned about the future of this Christmas cake and pudding and how it's going to taste. And I made a few inquiries at a few bottle shops this year to try and work out what would be a good substitute. And I think because it really has that fortified wine taste, I think muscat is a fairly good substitute. It's got that kind of raisiny, rich, syrupy taste. So I'm giving muscat a whirl this year.
Okay, well, let's go through the ingredients as found by your grandmother, then added to by potentially what your grandfather found and now enshrined by you. So what do we have here?
Okay, so we've got in this bowl a mixture of butter and flour, which has been rubbed together into a crumbly mixture. There's also brown sugar, grated apple, orange zest, orange juice, and some spices. I make my own mixed spice. There's coriander seed, ground coriander, and cinnamon, and a little bit of nutmeg, allspice, and cardamom, and cloves, I think. And so in this bowl is the currants, sultanas, and raisins, which have soaked in a little bit of muscat and a splash of hot water overnight, just to sort of plump them up, not to make them soggy, but just nice and juicy. We've got the fresh breadcrumbs. It's important that you use fresh breadcrumbs in a pudding. And the peel. I actually make my own peel. It's basically sliced oranges that have been soaked overnight in water. Then you tip out the water, which gets rid of a bit of their bitterness, and then you basically slowly poach them in a sugar syrup with a few spices, and they keep indefinitely in the fridge, and so they're perfect in Christmas cake and pudding or hot cross buns or whatever else you are wanting to make. Shall we do it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so we'll put the fruit in. Some puddings are really more padded out with flour and breadcrumbs, I think, but this really is quite a decadent version with lots of fruit, but not so decadent that you can't have the three helpings if you want. All I need to do now is butter a pudding bowl, pack the mixture in, cut a circle of greaseproof paper for the top, and then two layers of foil on top of that again, tied up with string, so you've got a handle for lifting the pudding bowl in and out of the water. Boil it for around about 5 hours.
Okay.
I've got one bubbling. Okay. A little mini version, which I think is pretty much ready to eat.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
It's ready to go
Would
now.
Would you like to try some?
Are you kidding? Of course I will. That'd be brilliant.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay.
So, we'll cut the string. Take off the foil.
Now, when you eat that, does that take you right back
to childhood? It really does. It really does. It puts a big smile on my face. It's. I can remember being a teenager and just being in awe of Nana's Christmas cake and pudding and just treasuring it on Christmas Day. So, yeah, it really does.
Did she really love how you reacted?
I think so. She loved the fact that I wanted to take over. Mixing a Christmas cake and pudding is actually a lot of effort, so the stirring of all that heavy fruit, I think it just became too much for her, so she was more than happy for me to take it on.
Well, thank you for taking it on and then passing it down the line to all of us on our own First Bite, and on behalf of all of us, Merry Christmas to you.
You too, Michael. It's been a pleasure.
The recipe for this quite incredible Christmas pudding can be found on the Hungry Girls website, along with photos, and you can get there via a link on RN First Bite. Rachel assures me that you can make this pudding and eat it all within a couple of days, so you still haven't missed the boat. You can also find information on the history of the Christmas pudding on our site, plus links to smartphone recipe apps. Just go to Radio National Online and look for us on the right-hand side. Now, I'm hoping you can join me on Christmas Day when I'll be hosting a special lunch where we taste test some old festive favourites with a bunch of cooks, food writers and critics. We're going to pull some crackers, read some jokes and drink some rather dodgy musket. All in the name of science, you understand. And then I'll be guiding you through the rest of the afternoon, including some appropriate music for the day with me on the inside sleeve. Fear not, because RN First Bite continues over summer, bringing you some of the highlights of 2013. So I do suggest you subscribe to our podcasts via iTunes or simply download from the website. This program is produced by the incredible Maria Tickle, polished by the inimitable Melissa May, and I'm Michael McKenzie. And on behalf of us, the best of the season to you. And look, if you're not cooking, at least offer to wash up. All right? Talk to you soon.